Blog Talk Radio.
That's a lot of intro music. What's going on? Hey, welcome. HR Happy Hour, Episode 3, Late Night Edition for the West Coast peeps and anyone else wants to call in. This is Steve Bowes, your charming and gracious host. And I am joined, as always, by Shauna Morkey, the HR Minion. Shauna, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. It was better music, but yeah, that was long.
Yeah, well, you know, I think I've got to work on streamlining the intro music, I guess. But at any rate, that's good. You know, we're here. It's HR Happy Hour, Episode 3. We've had a 2 week hiatus. So what's been happening in the last couple of weeks, Shauna? What's going on in the HR Minion world?
Oh well, apparently Allison from Ask a Manager and Suzanne from Evil HR Lady, trust me, I haven't scared people away. So they handed over the Carnival HR. So that's kind of been my thing lately, is playing around with that.
Oh, awesome, awesome. Yeah, that's a great thing. I think that, I think once people sort of get introduced to that and are new to it, they don't know, they don't understand how they participate in those the HR carnivals. I know I didn't. I believe you're the one who explained it to me.
Yeah, I did.
Last year, and so it's good that someone is as wise as you has taken over the reins of the blog carnival.
Oh, there you go, making me all egotistical.
Yeah, so for those listening now, if you want to call in, participate, and chat, the number is 646-378-1086. You can call on that number and I think press 1 if you want to come on with us, and press 2 if you just want to hang out and listen, which is cool too. And you can also listen live over the internet. So we do have a couple of callers who want to jump in and participate, Shauna, so I'm going to go ahead and put the first one up, and hang on a second. Hi, caller from area code 618.
Hi,
are you there?
Hi, it's McFarlane.
Trish, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Hey!
I was sitting there listening, and I wasn't quite sure how to get on, so I'm glad you said.
Did you press 1, and that was the deal, right, Trish?
Yeah, I did press 1, yep.
I should probably know this, but this is only the third episode, and I've heard that it takes, like, several years of hosting before you actually understand how to do this. But
oh, well, you guys are doing great so far.
Great. Well, welcome. It's nice to say hello to you, Trish.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Both of you.
Hey, you know, since Trish just got us on the bandwagon here, I'm going to go ahead and put up a couple more callers. We have a few other folks who've chimed in here and want to come on the air, so let me go ahead and bring a couple other folks up. Hi, area code 320. Can you hear me?
I can. This is Lisa Rosendahl.
Oh,
Lisa.
Are you kidding me? Lisa,
Hi,
how
Lisa.
Are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I have the kid watching a TV show, so I have some free time.
As a parent of an 8-year-old, I'm a little disappointed you let your child watch TV. I'm very disappointed, actually.
Wait till you hear what she's watching. She's watching George Lopez in Troop Dad.
Wow. That's cool.
Okay.
Of course I'm being sarcastic. Lisa and I have that common bond. We both have 8-year-olds at home, and so we could probably talk for hours about entertaining 8-year-olds. Hang on. I've got a
webkin.
Yeah, right. I've got a couple more callers up. Let's just go ahead and bring those guys up who want to jump in. Let's see here. Area code 502.
Hi.
Hi, you're on.
That's me, Crystal Peterson.
How are you?
Hi. Good. How are you guys?
Crystal, you're calling from Louisville, is that right?
I am.
My mom lives in Louisville.
Oh, well, that's
great. That's fantastic.
Great city, yeah. I'm sorry, whose mom was that that's here?
Oh, this is Shauna. My mom, yeah, is the one who lives in Louisville.
Great. Where does she live?
By the airport.
Oh, yeah.
By the airport. That's pretty attractive. Like
10 minutes? I don't know.
That would make you want to come right down and visit. Yeah, I've got this. I'm near the Motel 6 by the airport. Great.
It's a little bit nicer than that, but
right,
yeah.
Good,
that's fine, Shauna. In Louisville, you know, she could be anywhere 10 minutes away from the airport. I'm actually 10 minutes away, so we could be neighbors. We don't know.
Hey, I've got a couple more folks on the line, so let me try to pull them up. Hang on one second. And, okay, this area, might be an international number. The latest person who I just clicked on, can you hear me?
Hello.
Is this Beth?
It is.
Hi, Beth.
Hi.
Hello. Aloha, everyone.
Aloha.
This is Beth.
How are things in paradise?
Things are great. Thank you. I brought pina coladas for everybody on the call.
Yummy.
Thank you. I prefer the chocolate-covered macadamia nuts.
Do that, too.
You know, you could probably be living near my family in Hawaii as well. This is like a, you know, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon kind of thing.
Yeah, I've got one more caller who wants to come on, and then we'll go ahead and do a quick rundown of everybody who's on the line again, just so we can recap and make sure I've got it all down. Okay, so let me get the last caller up. Hi, area code 703. You're on the air. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
This is 411.
Hello.
No, this is Tracy Tran. What?
Tracy.
Hi, Tracy.
Calling information? I'll give you some information. The Nationals are the worst team in baseball.
Yeah, well, that's kind of obvious. But I think you got the two superstars if he actually sucked more, so.
How are you doing
getting
tonight?
Harsh.
I know. He came in hard with an agenda. I think it's like that sports talk radio mentality. You know, he's coming in very strong. All right, let me just take a quick run through just so we can recap who's still on the line. Of course, myself, Steve, Shauna, my co-host, Trish from St. Louis, Trish McFarlane, still with us, right?
I'm still here.
Lisa Rosendahl is here. Beth Carvin from Hawaii, when we're all jealous, I'm sure of that. Crystal Peterson from Louisville, and Tracy Tran from Tracy, you right in Washington? Are you in Virginia, Maryland? I don't remember.
Virginia.
All right.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So great. We got a nice full crew tonight, and I'm sure an audience of tens listening live right now.
Oh, be nice.
Well, it looks like
I actually took a look at the statistics from the last couple of shows of how many people have listened back to it, and I was actually quite amazed. A pretty significant number of listens, so that was pretty cool.
Great.
So what's going on tonight? Trish, let me talk to you. I have to thank Trish publicly because Trish was the person who actually gave us our little hashtag, our HR happy hour hashtag, right?
Oh, thanks.
Official queen of hashtags.
Yeah, that was awesome. How are things in St. Louis?
Things in my world are busy. Busy. I've got two bosses out of town for quite a while, so I've been,
You're not talking about your
Liam.
You're not talking about your twins.
Oh, no.
About...
Yeah, on top of that. They're fine. 5-year-old twins are easy. Yeah. dealing with HR for more than my normal two regions is a little overwhelming, but no, it's been good. So now that we finally got rid of our rain, I've just been, working like a mad woman all day and looking forward to this all week, that's for sure.
Well, great. I'm so glad
you
called in. That's awesome. I know that you were definitely helped us promote the call quite a bit, and I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Oh, definitely.
I think it's good to finally, just be able to hear everyone's voices since we all talk on the, on the Twitter all the time. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. There. It is really fun, and I know that was actually the reason why we started doing these a few weeks ago, right? It was just that idea of it's great to try to talk to people that you connect with online a little more often, a little more personally, and it's certainly been a lot of fun doing this, and that's why we're keeping going with them. So Beth, can I ask you a question?
Sure, why not?
Are you getting sick of people like me and everyone else giving you the whole, oh, it's so great in Hawaii, when can I come visit? You know, I mean, how many times a week do you think you get that from people over here in the mainland?
Well, it definitely happens. But I'll tell you what's funny is that, as you know, my background is in human resources, and about 9 years ago moved into the vendor world.
Right.
Worked and became a vendor and all of that side. So anyways, when we first started Knobscot, it was the kind of thing that, oh boy, how are people going to respond to us being in Hawaii? And are they going to think that, wow, can you really have a software company in Hawaii? So
right,
we always
right.
were
Why
really,
not?
Well, I know. I don't know what I was thinking. I'm from Boston originally, so you know,
okay.
I didn't know. Anyways, initially we sort of kept kind of low-key on the Hawaii thing, but now, now that we were, after a few years and we were established and we had, you know, good clients all across North America, now it's great. And that's everyone wants to talk about Hawaii, and everyone has a story about Hawaii, and it's their paradise and their dream place that they want to go. So now it's a great way for us to build rapport with people and chat with folks about their dream of coming to Hawaii.
Yeah. I'm sad to say my only real connection with Hawaii right now is when Peter and Greg Brady found the taboo idol. In
that, you mean the
yeah,
tiki idol?
Yeah, the right. We've got another caller who wants to chime in. I'm going to bring that caller up, and then we'll go chat some more. So hang on, everyone, for a second. Hi, area code 215. Can you
hey,
say your
Shannon
name and where
Myers.
You're calling from?
Yeah.
Say that again.
It's Shannon Myers. How you doing, Steve?
Shannon, how are you tonight?
Good.
Hello.
I see you twice in 1 week.
I'm the lucky one. That's just be very clear about that. Well,
even
great
though you're a Mavs fan, we're still sticking with you.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in tonight. How are you?
I'm doing good.
That's awesome. And Shannon and I are friends. Despite our baseball rooting differences, but you know we're trying to get past that, which is a good thing.
How big of you?
Yeah, I know. Well, Tracy would appreciate that, you know. Although, like a Phillies fan and a Met fan really getting along at this point is challenging, right?
I'm so stunned by that. I would expect fisticuffs and shouting right now.
Who is that?
They are bringing it all together.
Yeah.
That's funny.
That's, yeah. Hey, I want to ask a question of Crystal. Hey, Crystal.
Hello.
You and I have talked a little bit about technology a couple of times, and
uh-huh.
Can you just – something that's interesting to me is, like, something I ran into this week was a statistic that showed there's 18,000 organizations or companies in the United States, 18,000 or so, that have more than 500 employees,
mm-hmm.
and there's over 6 million organizations that have less than 500 employees, right? So 18,000 over and 6 million below. And so you're from one of those organizations that's certainly, you know, below 500, as I recall, right?
Right, right.
So, you know, what are some of the issues or challenges that you find, you know, running HR, you know, maybe as a solo or with just one other person in a small organization like that, compared to, say, a big company where you might have a, you know, 25 or 40-person HR staff?
Right. And we talked about this a little bit when we talked a few weeks ago. I am the only person, I'm the only HR person within my company, and so I wear many hats. I'm an HR generalist, so I do everything from training and development to onboarding and recruiting, and I even touch a little bit of payroll. And when I talked with you, I was really interested in looking at some applications that would kind of help bring all of that together. And I'm not one to want to go into 5 or 6 or 7 different applications all day long, but what I'm finding is that's what a lot of folks in my situation are doing. They have an applicant tracking system. They have a payroll system. They have a 360 performance review system, and the list goes on, and that just seems like a nightmare to me. I mean, it's basically what I'm doing, but I was hoping to find something that, you know, pull all of that together. I would think that, for me, is my biggest challenge,
right.
Is just having so many different systems or different ways of doing the full HR job. And just being myself, it can get a little time-consuming. So right now, that's my biggest issue.
Excellent.
Do you like it more? Do you like it more than being in a larger organization?
I really enjoy what I do. I work for an advertising agency, so while we work hard, we play hard, and there's a lot of great things. We have great clients. And so the atmosphere is great. I work for a really great company, so I do love that part. But I do miss being amongst other HR folks where I can connect and bounce ideas off of and really learn from. And so getting into Twitter and meeting a lot of you all, and I've talked to Steve and a few other people offline, and it's been really great. And so I'm really trying to get into Twitter a little bit more and get out there and really talk to more of you all offline so that I can have that connection. I do sometimes feel all by myself, like I'm on an island all by myself. So I miss that part of it.
Yeah, that's the same reason that I got involved in the blogging and HR online community too, is I was kind of stuck on my own.
Yeah.
Being a single HR person, you get rather lonely sometimes.
That has to be one of the hardest jobs that there is, being a single HR person, because HR is so varied in the kinds of work that you have to do too. So there's so many things that you have to know and do, and to have it all falling on your shoulders, that's huge.
Hey, we've got guys. I'm sorry to interrupt. We've got another caller I'm going to bring up who's got their hand raised here. So let's just go ahead and bring them on, since in the spirit of happy hour, right? Anyone can sort of join and so we'll see who's there. Hi, area code 954. Can you say your name and where you're calling from?
I'm calling from Fort Lauderdale. This is Charlene.
Hi, Charlene.
How are you?
And I'm sure everybody knows who this is, right? Do we need to, like, really explain who's just called and joined our call?
No, but I'm glad she dialed in. I just have been pressuring her through drawing my glasses. She's been pressuring me. She's been pressuring me via Twitter going, when are you going to get in the queue?
Yeah.
Peer pressure on Twitter. That's nice.
I'm also putting on peer pressure on Ben as well, so he needs to press
Ben
in here. So.
Yeah,
definitely.
You know, Shauna and I were talking before we started the call about we decided to change the time of this call from 6 o'clock Eastern time to 9 o'clock Eastern time. And we were kind of wondering, I was wondering certainly, how many folks would participate, because I did get quite a bit of feedback during the course of the week and even today of folks who couldn't make it or didn't want to participate tonight because they thought it was too late or whatever. And so I'm continually amazed by how many folks are into this and want to call in. We've got a full slate of callers and a few more people who have called in or just kind of listening in right now as well. So that's really, really very cool.
But I just wanted to say hi to everyone. Steve and I had a great conversation earlier this week talking about teaching classes and curriculum. So it's really nice to get the opportunity to chat with you again.
That's great. Yeah, thanks so much for calling in. It was a great call. I've had a really big week. I talked to some superstars in the HR community this week, like Charlene. I got to talk to Naomi Bloom, and I'm not sure if you guys how close you are, how you follow HR technology very close, but she's really a legend in HR technology, and I had the chance to talk to her this week as well. And so it was a big week for me, and I was pretty glad about that. As well as Shannon, I talked earlier in the week as well about some recruiting technology stuff. So I'm not sure I got any of my normal work done this week. Besides, I was talking to so many superstars in HR and recruiting. Lucky
you've
me.
You've been busy.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, sometimes I feel like I don't get much work done today because you guys put out such great work on your blogs that I find that I am spending a lot of time just clicking on your blogs and reading. Sometimes it feels like I'm not getting anything done, but I'm learning so much.
Yeah, that's a great point, Crystal. In fact, I'm teaching right now, and my class is online right now, and we cover lots of aspects of HR technology, and I posted a link to the Boolean Black Belt's blog, a couple of the articles he had written on search and sourcing and using tools to find candidates and whatnot. And some of my students were completely blown away, and the comments I got from them were just like, oh, I didn't have any idea that, you could do this, that you could find candidates on LinkedIn in such a fashion, or Twitter, or whatever the articles were about. So I think, and Charlene, I've linked to your blog a couple of times for you know, readings in my class, and I think that it's something that I think mainstream and academia for sure just ignores, and they don't really appreciate all the great work that's going on out on the blogs.
Steve, thank you so much, and I can't tell you how many times I have told somebody about your blog post on the 100 people to follow in Twitter.
So, oh, I know.
It goes down in the Hall of Fame as one of the best posts of all time.
The 100.
We're waiting on part two.
Yeah.
You know, we're waiting on part two.
You know, I keep thinking about doing an extension to that thing because, I don't know, that's at least 6 or 7 months old now, and it still gets a lot of hits, you know, comparatively to other things on that site. But I wonder about
it. It took a while to compile it, right?
It took forever, yeah. That's why I haven't done a follow-up. but it seems to me, and maybe you guys can disagree or agree, but there's so many other mechanisms nowadays to find people, whether it's the follow HR hashtag or – you know, the Twello or WeFollow, or, you know, it seems like, you know, when I wrote that, it seemed like it was a pretty good resource. And now I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure there aren't, you know, lots of other ways to get at that information. That
it's a nice resource, Steve, because this is Beth, because it's all in one place. And that's how I really connected with the HR community, was literally through your post.
Okay.
And it was just so easy because it was all right there, and I didn't really know who you were at the time, but it seemed like
right.
You knew what you were talking about.
Yeah, no, well, let's not get crazy there.
Listen to him.
But it was a great way to immediately start connecting with people and at least looking through their posts to decide if it was someone that I wanted to follow and really connect very, very quickly with the HR community, so I thought it was wonderful.
Thank you. Yeah, I did get a lot of good feedback on it. I probably should consider doing another one. I did get some. You know, I don't want to. I just, you know, the other thing I worry about too is I don't want to have any kind of position or claim to, you know, that I've decided who the important people are to follow. You know, like with a list like that, I don't want that kind of pressure. You know.
Yes, that's true.
But
But, you know, it's a good starting point, especially for people just getting into social media when you don't really know where to go. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I found it very helpful. The other thing I've done is I've gone to each one of you actually on Twitter to people that you follow and just try and read a little bit of the profiles. So if there are HR people that way that aren't maybe on the follow HR, I mean, I was just on Charlene's the other day kind of seeing if she had any new HR followers, and that's how I connected with a couple new people. So
that's a good way to do it.
You know.
Yeah. No,
that's a little more time consuming, but
yeah.
I think that it's a combination of ways maybe to find you know, really great people to follow.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think those are great points. Yeah, one day I probably will, you know, do an extension to the every so often someone asks me about it. Are you going to make another post or add another 100 names or whatever, and most people say, yeah, you should do it. And then once somebody told me, I forget who it was, somebody who's on the list, obviously, somebody DM'd me and said, don't do another 100 list because it's exclusive now and I'm on the list.
Oh, it's terribly exclusive because
yeah.
I'm there and, you know, you can't top me.
Yeah, right. I don't – let's just leave it forever after as the –
Oh, whatever.
Steve, how about if you get one of your students to do this as an extra credit project?
I know.
Nice. You're brilliant.
That's it. I tell you what, I'm glad you brought up the students, though. I you know, in the context of Twitter, certainly, my students, you couldn't be bothered. They're not interested. They're not on it. And I've really struggled with maybe it's because I'm not good at sort of articulating the value, perhaps, but I have certainly struggled with adoption and just sort of communicating the value of Twitter to my students.
Well, you saw
Facebook oriented instead.
Yeah.
Yeah. You saw that retweet that Mark Stelzner did, though, for the Zappos CEO with the Twitter's like hugging, even though you can't see the return on investment. Doesn't mean it doesn't add value. That's something that you should be like stamping on your syllabus to these kids.
Yes.
This is Tracy speaking. Yeah, no, I think that's the same problem to everyone. Like, the young people don't prefer Twitter because it's an actual conversation and they want to have their own private conversations, or they prefer texting a lot. And probably a lot of older people prefer this Twitter because it's more public conversation and they can share any information they want to.
Now, Tracy, were you a Twitter user while you were still in undergrad or still in school or no?
No, I started actually last year. So I'm way past being a college student. So, and I thought.
Yeah, I definitely don't see a lot of adoption. I do a pre-class survey every class, and I ask them if they're using different sites and whatnot, and I get very, very low response rate on Twitter. But everyone's on Facebook, of course.
Yeah.
So maybe I need to go ahead.
I was going to say, this is Beth. I have a resource for your students and for the other for other HR folks, and maybe some of the folks on the call could help with, if I could share. With.
Sure, go ahead.
We have a free mentoring program that we've put out for the HR community. And so we're always looking for folks like you guys who would want to or be willing to go in and be mentors and also perhaps be mentees if you want to connect with someone with some additional experience that you might not have. Or I think it would be wonderful for Steve's students to be able to go in and search for a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, awesome.
If you're okay with it, I can give you the address.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
It's at our mentorscout.com website, so it's just www.mentorscout.com. And then I'm going to actually give you and anyone who's listening the organizational ID code to this special program just for HR people.
Ooh.
Yep, so write this down. The organizational ID code is HR and then 325 and then mentor.
Okay.
And when you go in, what you do is you just fill out a profile of your background and experience, and then you can search for a mentor or mentee. It's something that we had put together and donated to the SHRM HR Talk, if any of you are ex-HR or present, I shouldn't say ex, HR Talk SHRM folks.
Okay.
On their bulletin board, and we donated it to that group, and we've now opened it up to anyone in HR. And again, it doesn't cost anything, but we're just trying to help people connect with others. Particularly, I'm thinking like you folks that are one-person HR department. Sometimes it's nice to be able to find a mentor if you have a sticky situation, or mentor others.
Yeah, great. No, that's awesome. I think definitely something my students, you know, would be interested and should definitely check out, and I will make sure that they get that information as well. That's some feedback. You know, I get a lot of questions from students or past students on really sticky HR issues that I don't necessarily know how to advise them on or solve, and I think it definitely could be a great resource for them.
Yeah, there's some excellent people on there, both mentors and mentees, and we're looking to just open that up, and whoever wants to participate can.
Yeah. Hey, do we dare add another caller? I do have another one. A caller wants to jump in.
We might as well try.
Let's go. Okay. Hi, area code 678. Are you there?
I'm here. It's Chris Havrilla.
Chris, how are you?
Hi.
It's Chris Havrilla from Atlanta.
Hotlanta. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Chris.
I don't know if it's worth doing the rundown again, but I can try. I hope everybody still stayed on the line. But if you're still there, just say hi. I've got Shauna, of course. Charlene is still here, right?
Yes,
Trish,
Charlene is here.
Trish HR, Trish McFarland, still with
I'm
us?
Here. Yep.
Lisa Rosendahl.
Beth
here. Carvin. Crystal Peterson.
I'm here.
Tracy Tran.
Yo.
Shannon, are you still with us? Shannon Myers.
Yep, I'm here.
All right. And Chris Havrilla.
And me.
I think, wow. This is every. You know, I should just hang up at this point because there's really no need for me. We've
oh,
got,
silly.
No
well,
way.
I don't want to be the only guy here. Step down.
You know, this is Chris. Thanks for joining, and I'm not. This is not a personal thing at all, but I'm gonna segue though because you joined, because you know I'm sensing a bit of a recruiter takeover of the call. I've got Tracy on here. I've got Shannon on here. Now Chris Avrilla is on the call.
Shannon, watch out. We'll take over.
I'm a little worried. And the recruiters, I've always say that the recruiters are the early adopters, right? They're the ones who are pushing it. They're the most fun. Right.
Exactly.
They're always looking for that edge, that whether it's technology or otherwise, right, that edge that to get on top of the market, right?
Always on the brink of insanity.
That's why it's fun.
All right. Well, then, since I've got three solid recruiters on the call right now, I'm going to ask a recruiting question of any of you guys who want to chime in. How's the deal? I mean, are you finding candidates and making placements using these new tools like Twitter, Facebook, obviously LinkedIn, but especially Twitter? That's what I'm more interested in. You really connecting with candidates and getting business this way?
Well, this is Chris. I know from my perspective, I'm definitely connecting with candidates. Yeah, we're still at a point where we're not doing a tremendous amount of hiring, but it's been a really good time to just take that time and engage with candidates. And we've made two hires from it just over the last few months, but like I said, we're not doing a ton of hiring. But one of the areas that we recruit heavily in is SharePoint, and there's a huge SharePoint community out here. So it's been tremendous for me to really make a lot of those connections.
So you think it's something in the long run is going to, passing fad or a long run valuable tool?
I mean, I think a lot of it's really going to be how you use it. But because the way I've chosen to use it is to engage in conversations with people, and we definitely take them offline. But for me, it is a very easy way, whether it's with candidates or with my peers out there like you guys, to kind of stay in touch in a much easier fashion. A lot of times you, even with the LinkedIn, you connect with someone, but it doesn't necessarily facilitate conversation the way Twitter does.
Okay.
So for me, it's been great.
How about Shannon or Tracy? You got any? Have any comments on that?
Yeah. No. This is Tracy speaking. No. I use the social media as a two-way tool, as engaging conversations that everyone is talking about. And the second thing I use it is for sourcing. And I kind of use the LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter as three different things. I use LinkedIn as your basic resume if they have the credentials to do it. I use Facebook to look at the character, and then Twitter for if they're a possible right fit or they have extensive knowledge of a certain industry or a position.
Okay. Interesting. It does seem like there's been a lot of buzz, a lot of energy around recruiting, right? Especially on the social networks. There was that conference or summit earlier in the week we heard a lot about, and it does seem like lots of energy in that space, definitely. And what are we into, the many thousands of recruiters actively on Twitter these days, I bet.
Yeah, supposedly.
There's a lot. But,
how many of them use it?
How many people are, at least from an in-house recruiter standpoint, there's not, I don't know how many people are actually out there representing their companies. And so it's actually been a real curious thing for me. Obviously I've got tons of connections with different recruiters, but they're not necessarily out there saying they're recruiting for a particular company.
Right.
And obviously a lot of them are third parties, but also there are a lot of in-house recruiters too. But kind of an interesting concept to me. I don't know if everybody's so ready to put themselves out there,
I think there's a lot of opportunity for in-house recruiters on Twitter because the audience is often for third-party recruiters, and I was a third-party recruiter for many, many years. But people are sometimes hesitant about recruiters, third-party recruiters, right? And they want so desperately to connect directly to organizations. So being an in-house recruiter for a company and to be able to go out there and be able to connect with people, I think that's a huge opportunity.
I think so, too. I'm surprised at how many candidates don't take advantage of it, though. I see people, that respond to even things I might post out there, mm-hmm. but not connecting, or there's tons of people applying, but not necessarily taking it to the next level to look out on a LinkedIn or a Twitter. to see if there's somebody out there, because I don't, you know, I put myself out there pretty accessible. And I am surprised at how many people don't take advantage of it.
It'll take some time, though. We forget that this is really, really in the early stages.
That's true.
Hey, guys, I've got one more caller who wants to jump in, and I have a feeling I know who this is, but let's bring that caller up right now. Hang on one second. Hi, area code 716.
Hi, Steve. It's Kelly Mitten calling from Buffalo.
Hi, Kelly.
Hey, Kelly. Hi, I just wanted to pop in and say hello to everyone.
All right, Kelly.
Hi,
hello.
Kelly.
Thanks for calling in. Kelly's, Kelly, I like Kelly a lot for several reasons, and not the least of which is she can personally testify publicly to how good of a barbecue cook I am.
Oh, jealous. I'm so jealous.
He really is. To tell you, I brought my sister with me because she didn't want me going and meeting someone that, you know, I got to know on the internet by myself.
That's right. I don't blame her.
It's a date. Stupid sister.
But she tells me on the way home that she would have gone anywhere for that barbecue.
Yeah.
So,
nice.
Yeah, and the funny thing is Kelly's sister must weigh about 90 pounds. I mean, she's one of the smallest girls I've ever seen, and yet she downed quite a bit of barbecue and definitely was keen to take quite a bit of it home. So I was excited about that.
So, yes, all of his, you know, stories of barbecue, they are true. He is an excellent cook.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're
welcome. Now this is recorded for posterity. In fact, when I write up the show notes, I'll remember at the 37-minute mark to note that we have a testament to my barbecue skills. So.
What's on the menu for this weekend?
I'll tell you what, you know, sadly for me, I don't know that I'm going to do too much. I'm actually moving in a couple of weeks, so I'm spending a lot of time packing, and the smoker's still out, though, so if I can find the time, I'll try to fire something up, maybe do some ribs or something that doesn't take too much time, but what I really like to do is, you know, take that Saturday afternoon, you know, on a nice sunny day and spend, you know, 8 to 10 hours out there and do it.
What a life.
Yeah. Is Shauna, is that the HR Minion dog in the background?
No, that is the HR Minion's husband, who apparently cannot sneeze without blowing down a mountain. So now the husband is going to go to the kitchen and get me an adult beverage to make up for it.
Hey, Lisa, you're still with us, right?
I am, and that's probably my dog in the background you're hearing.
Yeah, okay.
Barking at the TV.
You're a corgi, right?
I do. He seems to want to be attacking the vacuum cleaner. It's not even moving. It's just sitting there, and she is just going after it.
It's insolent. It's sitting there, you know, about to make noise. It's totally insolent. It deserves it.
She's protecting us, though. You know, she's got our back.
What
corgis do? What's that?
I was going to ask Lisa a question about, because Lisa works in a government organization, if I'm right, and I wanted to just maybe you could comment a little bit about access and sort of security and whatnot around access to certain sites and content from inside that world and that firewall.
I don't have access to anything. How's that?
So you're shut out. So you basically get up at 5 a.m. and say hi to everybody, and then you're done for a while, right?
And then I go behind the firewall. There's no Twitter, no Facebook, no live meeting, no YouTube, no SlideShare. It's crazy.
Wow. That is crazy.
It's like I go back in time. But, you know, at some point that's going to lift, and I'm going to be ready. I was talking to Jessica Lee this morning. As the firewall comes up, we are running out the gate. We're ready to go. But
do you anticipate that is going to lift for you sometime soon?
You know, I don't know. We're kind of run out of DC, and they have a pilot program going on right now with a couple of sites across the nation where they're bringing recruiters in, like real recruiters, not government recruiters, and they're showing them how to use social media and social networking to recruit.
Okay.
So those select sites, actually there's certain people at those select sites have access to some of the social networking tools. So they're going to they're trying it out there, so I'd expect that it's going to roll out. Now, things don't move really fast in the government, but at some point it's going to be coming to our site. And like I said, we're going to be ready to go. I mean, we're not going to have to learn from scratch because I'm learning it right now. I would have already made all my mistakes by the time it gets to me.
Right.
So, Lisa, when you use technology, do you have certain technology that's delivered over the Internet and they open up the firewalls to that particular technology, or is it all your technology have to be in-house on in-house servers?
It's all in-house on in-house servers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we just got a message about a week ago to remind people don't try to connect to live meeting because it's not going to happen. So I was
wow.
like, oh, my gosh. You know, which is kind of tough because all of the trainings, a lot of trainings and seminars and webinars are over live meetings.
I remember you couldn't join our GoToMeeting webinar.
I know. At first I thought there was something wrong with my computer. I had IT down there, and then we figured out, no, you're blocked.
Wow.
But, oh, well,
that's a little over the top.
It's a
yeah.
little bit.
Yeah, it's interesting that it's still happening quite a bit. It's ironic in a way because recently I did a webcast with one of my former students about the incredibly innovative approaches that the United States Army uses for social recruiting, social technology, and in-house and external things. That, you know, so that's theoretically, you know, a separate branch of the government slightly, but incredibly on the edge, very innovative, very cutting edge with what they're doing, you know, contrasted to what you're seeing, Lisa, in your organization, which is, you know, certainly, you know, much more old school, sort of draconian and whatnot.
Oh, it's going dead. Hello.
Are we all there? Okay, hang on. I thought I had a dead spot there for a minute. That's
yeah,
that
was weird.
Now I'm back.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask this. Trish, are you still there?
I'm here.
Trish, let me tell you, you're relatively new, right, to the blogging space, to the Twitter world, right?
Yeah.
What do you think has been the biggest benefits that you've sort of gained, you know, personally, professionally, from sort of engaging in this community?
Well, you know, I think for me it's huge. I work, I work at a PR firm that is very, very big into promoting digital, and I mean, they're practically making mandatory for all of our employees. We have about 2,500 employees globally, and for us to take courses and modules on Twitter, on LinkedIn, on Facebook, on blogging, on, you know, all these different sites. So it's nice that I work somewhere where they're actually encouraging us to do this. But, you know, I've been there about a year and a half, and I'll tell you, I went and did the Twitter one a little over a year ago, and I went and it said, you know, now go up, sign up for Twitter, and, you know, it says, what are you doing? And I said, I'm sitting at my desk or something like that. And I'm looking at one of my colleagues, and I said, okay, I don't get it. And she's like, I don't get it either. She said, so she typed in that she was sitting at her desk, and then that was like, okay, well, that was fun. So I just kind of forgot about it. And, you know, about maybe 5 months or so ago, it kind of came up even a little more urging of all of us to sort of, you know, get out there and just see what it is and see what we can do. And I don't even recall, but I thought, well, I'm going to get a Google Reader and I'm going to start, you know, reading some blogs because it's probably a good way to get some information. And I don't know, I just all of a sudden just wanted it to be like a sponge. I wanted to just absorb as much as I could. And it was really a conversation I had with the Red Recruiter, Michael Long, and Mike Okars, who some of you may follow, or he might be a follower. But, you know, they were actually teaching me how to use TweetDeck to get the most out of it. So I have used my TweetDeck from everything from a couple months ago. We went through some substantial layoffs, and I would actually have searches continually running for, you know, VPs of PR in Detroit or whatever, just so I could reach out to those people that I had to lay off and, you know, encourage them and say, look, here's a job I found, post it on Twitter. And so I got as many people through just kind of word-of-mouth efforts to join on and to get into Twitter. Whenever I go to my offices, I have, you know, I have four offices in D.C. alone. So when I was up there recently, just last month, I mean, I'm sitting down with fairly high-level leaders, and sometimes the highest-level leaders in the region, and they're still kind of going, well, I don't understand what I could do. And I said, well, you should be monitoring your clients. You should be monitoring our company. You should be, you know, out there just, even if you're just watching to see what's being said. I just think there are so many applications. And then in terms of just HR in general, I've used it because in following all of you, I'm to the point now, even though I work in a department of about 35 HR professionals, counting our recruiters, you know, I may have a need to work on a presentation and, you know, we might not have anything on that. I can send a tweet out and the next thing you know, I've got 10 recommendations of what to do or different ideas. Or so to me, you know, before this I worked in an organization, I worked for PricewaterhouseCoopers, so, you know, over 25,000 employees. But it was more isolated because each HR site leader, we were kind of an island a little bit. So I sort of know how that feels, to where you're sort of making all the decisions and having to come up with the ideas on your own. I mean, I think for those people, this is a great tool. And I think if you're in a group of 30 or 40 HR professionals, it can still be a great tool because you all are the ones who are sort of on the cutting edge of HR in my view. And I would just say in the last couple months, I've learned more than I probably have in 10 years in HR.
Wow. So,
you know, and as far as blogging, I started out just a mommy blog just to kind of see what it was about. Again, it was more on the urging of our company. And it was after I started reading some HR blogs, and I thought, well, maybe I do have some thoughts on that. You know, it's a little frustrating when you're in corporate because you do have to be a little mindful of what you say, even though I'm not writing on behalf of my company and it's not mentioned. But, you know, there are definitely days I wish I could be more punk rock HR, you know, like Laurie, and say what's really on my mind. But I think it's a nice happy medium at the moment. So, sorry, I'm rambling.
No, no, that's great. No,
great,
I'm glad.
No worries.
It's really slow for HR people to find value, to find the value that everyone on this call has found on Twitter. We have an HR forum with a whole bunch of people that we've all been friends for years on these forums, and we had a post about Twitter, and pretty much everybody universally said, checked it out, and can't really see what to do with it. Okay, done with that.
Yeah,
you almost need to know someone who's using it for some reason, I think, for them to be able to show you, well, here's what I can do with it, and then it'll spark an interest in you, and then you can be off and running and being creative with it. So,
I have a question similar along those lines, and I guess I'll direct it at Charlene since she's written so much about social media policy, particularly lately. One of the things I've noticed in technology, and there's a lot of platforms that are hitting the market or sort of been around for a while, but maybe sort of getting a little bit more notoriety lately. The platforms are designed for, you know, fostering internal communication and collaboration. And one of the latest things that you're seeing a lot in these internal, quasi-internal platforms is the ability for employees to incorporate their feeds from Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, or maybe their blog or other external RSS feeds to incorporate them easily inside this little corporate system. It's a really interesting development that's happened lately, and it seems like lots of vendors are kind of scrambling to try to incorporate sort of internal communications that would typically just go between employees in an organization with whatever external content these same employees would be generating. It's really interesting, and I don't know if you've seen or talked to any of your clients about this kind of idea about incorporating the internal communications with the external, but I've seen that the systems anyway really striving to provide that functionality lately.
You know, two things, and the first thing is, I'd love to see Amanda, if Amanda's still on the call, get involved in this conversation, because I'll bet she has some really good ideas. I think she's been trying to get in the queue. If Amanda's still there.
I'm sorry. If I miss someone who's trying to get online, I
no,
apologize.
I mean, so I just happened to notice that, you know, I'm watching my tweet deck at the same time.
Okay, thank you.
What I see right now as being some of the biggest struggle is allowing employees the opportunity to do this. You know, it was probably no different than when we flipped the switch and employees could use the internet all the time. And, you know,
it was like, well, what about productivity? And, you know, people are going to be surfing all day long. And at the end of the day, we found that people don't surf all day long. And so now when you talk about, well, giving people access to Facebook and Twitter and everything like that, then it's sort of like, oh, well, people are going to be Twittering all day long. Well, no, they're not. But, you know, Lisa probably is living that conversation every day.
Yes.
You know, and so I think it's just something that we have to work through right now. And I think before the really big platforms, you know, like a Yammer or something like that gets inside a company, probably going to see it on a micro level first.
We have a number of companies utilizing. We actually expanded our Mentor Scout software to act as an internal social networking program. And companies are stepping in very trepidatiously and starting with smaller groups and pilot programs and things like that rather than bringing the whole organization on. But you brought up that interesting point, Steve, about linking your external networks inside into the firewall. And I think that's going to be a long time in coming. The vendors might be jumping on creating it because it's a really, really neat idea. But we're seeing that companies are even nervous just about having an internal one, and there are so many even security issues that are, you know, we get security audit documents to fill out that are 27 pages long in size 7 font to prove how secure the systems are. So I think that integration between your external feeds coming into the private internal network, I think that's going to be a slow adoption.
Yeah, I don't know, right. I don't know if it's a sort of a solution in search of a market right now or truly, you know, a really valuable tool that lots of companies are looking for. It's hard for me to say. I've tried a few of the platforms, and, you know, from my perspective, they're really cool. They're really interesting and exciting, and I do like the idea. I wrote recently about just you know, asking the question of, you know, when you're faced with a problem, a question, you need information, where are you turning? Are you turning to your internal colleagues? Are you turning to your external networks? Where are you looking for information? And lots of folks did respond, you know, that you know, particularly folks like Crystal was saying in smaller organizations, that I'm reaching out to my Twitter friends or my LinkedIn contacts or whatnot to seek information that will help me in my internal, you know, my internal activities. And so the idea that I can bring that information back inside my enterprise and then leverage it in the future, either myself or maybe other colleagues inside my enterprise, is a pretty powerful, it's a powerful idea, certainly. But it, as you said, Beth, it does come with some security issues and other issues alongside of it as well. But it's definitely
fear.
A trend.
It's just fear.
Oh, yeah, I think it's – and I think the other part is customer service. I mean, it's just an issue of making sure that people can deliver if they're going to have access to all of this. You know, our employees getting trained to use the tools and represent the brand and answer the questions, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, you know,
I was just going to say I completely agree with that because, you know, unless there's a manpower in place to respond to anything that might come in, it'll fail. Someone has to be there ready to answer the questions and have an answer instead of being like, oh, well, maybe I have to get back to you. We don't really know. Or, yeah, we're going to take your feedback, but we're not really ready to do anything with it.
True. Very good point.
I mean, I think it's, you know, I think companies are struggling with if we build it, you know, they'll come, but are you prepared to deal with everything that's associated with that? I mean, you just can't give an employee a Twitter account and go have at it.
That's how you train them on it.
Well, you know, it's like, I mean, look at, you know, how we're talking about the first time that we got on Twitter. And, you know, we said, hey, you know, I sat at my desk or I had a meal for breakfast or whatever. You know, if employees don't get some sort of training on how to deal with issues,
And your policies need to be in place, too, before you jump into this. And it's one of the reasons Steve knows I'm always harping on that HR really has to be the person driving this initiative and not the IT department, because, you know, there are a lot of consequences, and I'm not of the mindset, being on the HR side, that we should just open all of this up and just free flow, you know, let everyone have at it, because there are so many risks involved, and it's our job in HR to mitigate those risks. So you really do need to think about your policies and have all of that in place and any training and communication that's needed.
I totally agree with that. This is Crystal, and we did a revising of some of our policies to incorporate social media into those, and we did that earlier this year. And like Trish, we are big in the social media world at the advertising agency that I work with. And we have a whole department set aside with social media managers, and they're constantly out there and working with our clients on their social media policies. And so we are incorporating that across the board. And so now we have that in our policies, in our handbook, and we're doing training, what we call Acorn U, Acorn University, and we're going to be doing additional fall sessions coming up where we're going to have our social media managers just doing training across the board to talk about everything that's out there. And we're going to do it, you know, once every 2 weeks there's going to be a training on something related to social media, because our folks are using it, and we just want to make sure that they're using it properly. We think it's a great thing, but we want to make sure people are using it in the proper way.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, that's very cool.
It's been well received at the agency, and we also have a blogging platform, actually, that we're hoping to launch later in the fall, and hoping to get more people internally more comfortable with blogging, and we're going to have, you know, a variety of topics that people can blog on, and hopefully it will be outward-facing so that people going to our website will be able to see some of that. So we're really excited about that.
But, you know, that's very cool. Kelly, are you still on the line?
Yep, I'm here.
When Crystal mentioned blogging, I thought of you, of course, because I know you've got a pretty prominent role in your organization, right? In your internal organization's blogging efforts, right?
A big initiative last year was to set up, you know, an associate website. We used to have newsletters that were, you know, magazines that were published each month, and it just became such a cost to, you know, publish those and, you know, send them out to, you know, 10,000 associates. So a big initiative was developing the website to post articles and what's going on. And kind of something that I've now taken on in the past couple months has been, you know, posting for our associates on the website. We've been getting slow responses, but it is growing, which is really what we're looking for. You know, we're not looking for all 10,000 people to tomorrow, you know, start commenting on my blog, but that would just be... it wouldn't happen, you know. I'm not going to fool myself into thinking that it would. But we're using it to facilitate the conversations and make all associates at all levels of the organization really feel like they're part of the brand and part of the company and the family that we are.
Yeah,
that's a nice way of thinking about it.
I'm sorry?
I said that's a nice way of thinking about it.
You know, I mean... we have, you know, I'm at the corporate level, and I know that a lot of the associates work in, I work at in a 76-store grocery chain. I work at the headquarters, and I know that it's really hard, you know, the cashiers or the clerks or whatnot, they don't feel connected to corporate. There's a lot of disconnect that's been voiced from associates, so we're really trying to look into ways that we can kind of close that gap.
Great. That's awesome. Kelly, just let me make a quick announcement. We're winding down to the end of the hour, and we're almost to the end of the hour. So what happens at the end of the one-hour mark is that anybody who's listening live over the Internet, on the Internet feed, that we will cut off at the one-hour mark, the folks who are on the call, who are dialed in and, you know, talking, or the folks who are dialed in and just kind of listening, you know, you're free to hang out. We can continue the conversation for as long as we care to. It just won't stream live to the Internet, but all the following subsequent conversation will be archived and be available on the archive of this recording. So I just wanted to let everybody know that as we're winding down to the one-hour mark. So thanks, everyone who's called and who's listening online for that.
Oh, real quick, Ben Eubanks wanted me to say that he says hello to everyone.
Oh, Ben.
Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ben.
Hey, Ben.
Nice job, Ben. You know, it's funny, Shauna and I discussed, you know, times for these calls because we want to move them around maybe a little bit and give people in different parts of the country or the world even, hopefully, a chance to participate. And so we decided to move this one to 9 o'clock Eastern time tonight. And I saw a tweet from Ben talking about how he might be taking a nap at that time or going to sleep. And I'm thinking, this guy is like 22 years old. How can he be asleep at 9 o'clock? It's insane.
Maybe that's where he gets all his energy from.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, I'm gonna cut him a break tonight, but you know,
yeah, it's a nap. That means he's gonna get up and stay up all night after that.
It could be. You know, the young guys like that. I don't know. I mean, you know, in fact, you know, since we're off the live stream now, so now I feel really free to comment. I had a little exchange today with Jessica Lee, who most of you probably are familiar with from her
blog,
The Soul of Talent. Yep. And she's been hassling me no matter what time we've chosen for this call, right? She's not available. It's Friday night. And so she told me she was having a date tonight, and perhaps she could call in from the date. And so, you know, I was thinking maybe our special guest tonight would be Jessica Lee's date.
That would have been hilarious.
Yeah, I was hoping, but good. I guess that didn't happen.
Maybe the date is going well.
Could be, right.
Ooh!
He didn't,
or it went really, really bad.
I thought maybe a little live interview, you know, we could have put the date on. A few of you guys could have asked some questions. And, you know.
We could have totally given him the third degree. That would have been awesome.
That's
like,
yeah.
So you want to take out our friend Jessica to you.
Yeah.
What are your intentions?
Yeah, exactly.
That's funny.
Did you realize on your first date you'd be live on the internet, on the radio, and having to ask questions? I think it would have been fun. So maybe next time.
It would have been great.
Who knows?
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind trying to pull. There's definitely a really lively and vibrant HR community, an HR technology community, particularly based in the UK. And I would love to schedule one of these at a time where we could get more of those folks participating, you know, if they care to. I think some of them might. So maybe we'll do an earlier one where it won't be quite so late. It's got to be like 3 or 4 in the morning right now, probably in the UK, I'd imagine.
You could have an
HR
for us.
Oh, they're gonna if we're going to do it at 4 or 5 o'clock, they're probably going to be drunk anyway, so.
You think? So. Yeah, could be. I'll make sure I put that in the show notes, you know. We'll do this one earlier so that the UK folks won't be too drunk when we pull them online.
Well, weren't we thinking about maybe doing a special Sherm edition?
Oh, yeah, that's great. Shauna, thank you for bringing that up. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
We're thinking that maybe we could try and grab some people who are going to be at, you know, the big Sherm thingy, as I like to call it, otherwise known as the annual conference or whatever. we're thinking about maybe pulling a couple people who are there and, you know, while they're there and maybe have them talk about what they see and what they did, what they liked, stuff like that.
That would be a great idea.
Yeah, that's great.
Especially for the people at us that are stuck behind.
Mm-hmm. I know. Like me.
And me.
That's right. I think most of the folks on this call, Charlene and I actually, we did speak about this when we talked earlier in the week, and you know, it was really, really, I think, Charlene, just a matter of trying to find a suitable time where we could grab a couple of folks down there and get them organized for maybe 40 minutes or an hour to call in.
I agree. It's, you know, it's so hard when you're there to find time to duck to the side, and I have no idea what the reception is like in the convention center, so hopefully it's great reception.
Right. You know, I was thinking, I know that they're doing a special blogger panel one of those days, right? We could,
mm-hmm.
you know, get them to set up a speakerphone right on that table and...
That would be awesome.
Have them dial right in, right?
Aren't they live streaming that? Someone, I don't remember who it was, someone I thought said they were going to live stream that particular session.
Oh, that session will be live streamed?
Yeah,
thank goodness.
I think so.
I think Jessica mentioned that. She mentioned to me, I think they're going to live stream that event.
Yeah.
Or that session.
Mm-hmm. And
awesome. I so desperately want to see it.
I think that one's on a Wednesday, right?
It is.
I think it's on
Wednesday at like 11:30. You
mm-hmm.
know, it's I think in the last bank.
Yeah, it's the last session.
Yeah.
Well, gee, they're not giving that much opportunity to pull people in. people are probably going to be going to the airport at the time. That they needed to give them a better time.
Exactly. I agree.
Yeah, it does seem right. You don't want to be the guy right before lunch, and you don't want to be the guy right before the end of the conference, right? That's the sort of rule of thumb.
Right. Every convention I've been to, the last day right before it shuts down is always like the kiss of death for attendees.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, as Shauna said, we'll try to pull something together maybe on that Monday or Tuesday if we can pull it together. You know, we'll need, you know, I don't really want to try to do it unless we can get two or three people who are actually there who are able to, you know, spend a little bit of time sort of talking about what's going on there and what they're seeing and learning and whatnot. I think it would be fun, but at the same time, I understand that, you know, it's a big deal. People are going down there for a specific reason and not necessarily to, you know, go off to a side room and call into the show. So
but I have a wish list. I want Kristen to do it. I want Lance to do it. I want Lori to do it. Jessica to do it. Pretty much everyone, I want them to do it.
So, all right. Well, Shauna, you know, let's go. We'll start reaching out to them. You're calling them
totally
out right
do
now.
That.
Let's
Kristen, Lance Hahn, Lori Rudiman, Jessica Lee, and everyone else that I'm forgetting that I know is there. You so need to call it.
All right, so you're officially calling that crew out
totally
to join this show, and okay, that's fine. I'm fair enough.
Even if they can't do it while they're there, they could do it the following Friday, maybe.
Yeah, like a recap kind of a deal.
Yeah, do the recap because then, you know.
That's a good idea, too.
Just in case they can't duck out.
I think, Shauna, what we need to do is, like, get this show sort of to a level that which there's actual budget, and then we could just send you as a
sweet
as a correspondent, you know?
You are just talking about my dream job right now.
Yeah, we have to find – I'm looking for – I need to find a corporate sponsor.
You want Nob Scott to be a sponsor for you?
Well, I didn't say that. You've said that, but I that'd be fine.
But we'll have to talk offline about that. That could be fun.
Yeah, sure. The official.
Don't you have the next of a pizza restaurant?
Yeah, I've talked about having my lecture sponsored a couple of times, and I thought that was a good idea. Like tonight in week four of my class on performance management, I'm going to be delivering the Taco Bell lecture. You know,
nice
on employee performance. So I haven't really been able to actually pull that off, but you know, Tracy, right? You know European soccer, right? You watch it at all?
Somewhat. I mean, I'm not like a fanatic like many others, but I know somewhat.
Right. So you know that the teams all have the big sponsor names, right? Right across their jerseys, right? So that's what I do. I'd get up in front of the class, and I'd just wear a shirt, and it would say Taco Bell right across it. And I'd slip it in a couple of times during the talk, and I'm comfortable with doing that. I really am. I don't really see any problem with it. So, yeah, sponsorship for Shauna to go to these different conferences and report back and maybe do some vlogs, I think it would be pretty cool. I think we could build a little empire there.
Oh, Ben wants us to get off the line so he can listen to what we're saying now.
I just saw that.
Whoa.
I just told him to dial in.
I think
and
Shauna
join us.
Ought to get the Punk Monkey to have its own Twitter account. And, you know.
You call him Punk Monkey? I love calling people Punk Monkey. Jason Sidon is my favorite Punk Monkey.
I saw the Punk Monkey video from Sidon, so I was like,
can someone, if someone's on Twitter, can do this? Can someone ask Ben if he's either area code 859 or 253? Because there are a couple people on the line from those area codes, but they don't have their little hand raised, so I have not tried to put them up. I don't know if either one of them is him.
Steve, he's area code 256.
Okay,
yeah.
256. So that's not okay. There's
Steve,
a little.
I'm gonna jump off the call. This is Beth. I've got.
Yeah.
I have to get back to work. It's
oh,
only 4 p.m. here. Thanks, everyone. I really enjoyed talking with all of you, and I'll
Thanks,
see you
later.
Bye.
Bye.
I'm gonna drop the call too.
And this is Lisa, and I have to jump off. My daughter is officially giving me the evil eye now. I've got.
Bye, Lisa.
Bye, Lisa.
Have a great night.
Bye, Lisa.
Bye.
Of course, and right as Lisa leaves, my dog starts barking.
You know, it's funny. I think, Shauna, I think that's got to be just what we need to do when I get a little time, and I got to build a little better intro music, but somehow we've got to get a barking dog into our intro theme because...
I could just be Darby.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Pretty...
No, wait. I know I said this last week, but Shauna, you just have the most like infectious laugh ever.
Thank you.
I'm pretty sure.
I do hear that a lot.
I'm pretty sure we've had a barking dog on every show so far.
It makes it real. It's keeping it real.
That's right.
Be an actual mascot.
Yeah, I know.
Daddy, do you want to be a mascot? He would totally love that.
Hey, can't you get Ben Eubanks to design a little shirt for him, a little HR? A little HR shirt.
So cute. Oh, my God, I have to Twitter that to him.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. You know.
He'll do it.
You know, make sure we get a proper trademark and a brand and everything.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll do all the normal things. And what, Shauna, what's your dog's name?
His name is Darby.
Darby.
D-A-R-B-Y.
I'm going to write that down. That's
Darby the HR dog.
Yeah.
Aww.
Official show notes.
The HR Darby. That's perfect.
That's hysterical. But yeah, right, we've had the barking dog feature, you know, pretty much every week so far. And, you know, I think it's got to now fit into our brand, right? I mean.
Totally. I'll send you a cute picture of him.
Yeah.
Just get him his own Twitter account, and that'll be how you can, you know, put out the news each week about the upcoming call.
Oh,
yeah,
cute.
I know.
And then we'll just all retweet it.
This has got to be the, you know, that's the edge. We're looking for that right angle, right? You know? Just
trying
to find
totally.
That marketing sweet spot. And so certainly the Darby, the HR dog. I like it. Yeah, it's got a good, you know, people love those animals and stuff, so I think it's a great idea.
And now he wants me to get off the phone and play with him.
Yeah, great.
I've actually got to go. I have
that's great.
I have a friend that just walked in the door and is looking at me like I'm crazy, you know, sitting on the phone.
Oh, whatever.
So.
Yeah. Well, maybe we
should wrap it up.
Yeah, I think we should. We'll go ahead and wrap it up. I think let me just say thanks to everyone who joined the call tonight. Let me just quick run through the names. Of course, Shauna Morkey, my wonderful co-host, and Darby the HR dog, Charlene Lobby, Trish McFarlane, Lisa Rosendahl, Beth Carvin, Crystal Peterson, Tracy Tran, Shannon Myers, Kelly Mitten, Chris Havrilla. I think that's everybody, and I'm sorry if I missed anyone. And thanks so much for calling in to the HR Happy Hour. Stay tuned for the next episode, which I hope will be next Friday. We'll see if we can pull that off. And if we do, actually, next Friday's episode was a special edition that I had planned a few weeks ago with the HR Maven. It was a special beer and barbecue edition of the HR Happy Hour. So that's my thinking right now. But anyway, thanks so much, everybody, for calling in tonight and participating. And it was a lot of fun. And I hope to see you on the next show.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
One.
Bye.